A multi-billion dollar corporation run by witches, warlocks, in a 40-story building that doesn't even have a 13th floor.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that plays Debussy with both feet tied behind its back. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Iffy, Mr. DeBills, Nuwadiwe.
I'm Mr. DeBills, and I hope y'all are ready for your close-up.
Drea, Strongarm Clark.
That's right, Strongarm, because I'm here to work you over.
And Alonso, Babbo Natale Duralde.
You guys are going home with coal in your stocking.
Hello, hello to everybody, and welcome to a special episode of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. We are between season 6 and 7 this week, so we've got an episode featuring the three hosts of the Maximum Film Podcast over on the Maximum Fun Network, with three rounds of movie trivia tailored just for them. Helping us to keep scores today and making sure all those trivia trains are running on time is, as always, our scoremaster, Dan Cassino. Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Hi there, Taylor. Now, I just want to warn listeners, you might hear some noise in the background today. See, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tapes next to a medieval torture museum, but our torture devices actually work. That's some local flavor for our Chicago listeners.
And I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Taylor.
And also hanging with us today, working the ones and zeros, is production master Dave. Hey there, Dave.
I have told you before, there is no escaping the nature of the universe. It is that nature that has again brought you to me. Where some see coincidence, I see consequence. Where others see chance, I see cost.
Well, coincidentally, I think it's time to start our first game of the day, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of today's players has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. But the catch, we choose the battle that those champions are fighting. He's a comedian, TV writer, and the fearless leader of Maximum Film, Iffy Nwadiwe, who is your champion today.
My champion is none other than a man anyone could depend on. A man who will get you there and back, no matter what it takes. A man who stands for his family is Dominic Toretto from the Fast and Furious series.
The famously tall Dominic Toretto.
Huge.
Also with us today is film festival programmer and indie producer Drea Clark. Drea, who is your champion?
Obviously, from my game name, you can tell strength is very important to me. So I've chosen what I think is the most formidable character out there. And obviously, that is Lady Catherine de Bourgh from Pride and Prejudice, probably most famously played by Judi Dench, but I'm sure the first person that sprung to mind when I said strong, you know.
Thank you, Drea. And filling out that third contestant chair this week is film critic and Christmas papa, Alonso Duralde. Alonso, who is your champion today?
Well, you know, I thought I would go with somebody who, you know, fits my general scheme of film interest and also one of the screen's great socialists. So, George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life.
All right. Three excellent champions locked into the game. So that means it's time to spin that scenario wheel.
Driving something.
Today's scenario asks, which champion is going to win the bike race? Iffy, why is Dominic Toretto going to win the bike race?
Because racing is in his blood. Down to the bloodline. There couldn't have been a better scenario for Dominic Toretto. We've seen over the past 10 movies that it doesn't matter what the vehicle is. If Dominic Toretto is behind the wheel or the bars, he's going to get past that finish line in under 10 seconds. It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a quarter mile, because winning is winning. And as we've seen in the Hobbs and Shaw movie, they go up against a juiced up Idris Elba, hand to hand. He, at this point, he is a Super Saiyan. He is a superhero. And Hobbs beat him, which means by transitive property,
Dominic Toretto can also fight a superhuman person, which means he must have superhuman pedaling ability, making him the champion of any and all bike races.
Fantastic argument. Thank you, Iffy. All right, next up to Drea. Drea, why is Lady Catherine de Bourgh from Pride and Prejudice going to win the bike race?
Well, I heard the question and felt immediate relief at my choice, because the thing about Lady Catherine de Bourgh is, if she had wanted to learn something, she would have become a great proficient. So A, if she wanted to learn to bike, she would be the best at it. But more importantly, Lady Catherine de Bourgh is very skilled at making underlings work for her. And so to win a bike race, she would absolutely commandeer several of them to put together a rickshaw contraption of sorts. And she and her 50 layers of crinoline would just scoot right on past everybody else, leaving them in the dust.
I like how our bike race is transforming very quickly into the cannonball run.
Yeah. And Alonso, why is It's a Wonderful Life's George Bailey going to take home the crown in this bike race?
Well, you know, George, I would say, unlike some of the people in this fictional race, has long, long legs. And that's definitely an advantage in the world of bicycle racing. And clearly he's somebody who's been physical his entire life. As a child, breaks through the ice and rescues his younger brother, Harry. As an adult, has a car that's constantly breaking down. So, you know, he is walking around Bedford Falls a lot. So I think he's in shape. He's in fine fettle. He is not bound to the notion of the gas burning engine. He, you know, he relies on George Power to get around, and George Power gets him around. And I think the whole town is going to be there to cheer him on, because they all owe him a favor. They all are in debt to his generosity and his compassion as a local business leader. So I think he's got this.
And he could open a bike shop called Zuzu's Pedals.
There we go. The puns are unleashed.
I apologize for that. All right. Three fantastic arguments all laid down. And today, the honor of determining the winner based on those arguments is Dan. Judge Dan, who is it going to be?
All right. So we have to build our scenario here. I'm trying to paint a word picture here. So I think we have to assume that the race is going to happen at Rosings Park, right, where Lady Catherine de Bourgh is situated. And then the question is, how are we picturing her? Is this the Judi Dench version? Is this Edna Mae Oliver? I'm going to say this is, just to make it a fair fight, I think this is Lena Headey from Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. So that's the version we're going with. George Bailey, the whole town has turned out to root him on. I mean, they all love him. We know that. So I think we got the fifth man is in George Bailey's corner. And then I have to say, I think Dominic Toretto, he's coming in as the heel, right? Everyone's going to be rooting against him. And the question becomes, does that get him down or does that empower him? Does he want to be the guy everyone's rooting against? And so I think this race is close, but I gotta say, I think Dominic Toretto, as played by vehicle identification number Diesel himself, I think he is going to look at this and go, I think he likes being the heel. I think he wants to show everybody he's going to win. I think our winner by a nose has to be Dom Toretto.
See, but just know when he gets off that bike, he's like, when y'all came together to root against me, you only made your family stronger. And that made me stronger. Because I know, by putting the fire under you to make you want to beat me, you'll only have a stronger family. I'll see you later. And then Wiz Khalifa comes in and starts.
Sure.
Who wants a Corona?
All of these are normal people to appear at Rosings Park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wiz Khalifa raps about it all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Iffy. You have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will have half a point more than either of your fellow players before we even start the game. Here is your half point question. The 1979 cycling film Breaking Away takes place around what Midwestern university?
Alonzo rubbing his hand together as if he was going to eat a delicious meal and looking at me, because here's the thing about these questions is Drea and Alonzo are going to know right away if I'm going to get it right or wrong. And they both had the same reaction when you said 1979 movie. What is the right answer?
Alonzo, Drea, let's see if you know it. Say it at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
University of Indiana, Bloomington.
In Indiana University, IU, it generally says the Indiana first. But yes, absolutely, in Bloomington, the setting for Breaking Away.
All right.
Now, if you may have missed the half fight, but you still get to go first in round one, drop it like it's hot.
Okay. All right. Snoop Dogg reference. So let's go.
You can never be too sure what movie you're watching unless someone on screen says the title aloud. In this game, I'll play a movie clip that walks right up to the title being spoken in dialogue. You complete the quote by naming the movie. For example, if I played you this clip...
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours.
You know that was leading up to the title...
The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Absolutely. That answer would get you 10 points. Now, if you need a hint, I can tell you the year of the movie and its top billed star, but then a correct answer becomes only 5 points. We'll start it off with our first clip for Iffy.
Are those live rounds? Seven, six, 2 millimeter.
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket.
Absolutely, 4-10.
Yes, fun fact that will tie into something I always bring up on our podcast, but I was in a short film called Spinners with a lesser-known actor who goes by the name of Timothy Chalamet. But for my character's inspiration, because my character kind of like freaks out in the movie, I had to watch this scene. And for a long time, that was the only part of Full Metal Jacket I've seen was just the boot camp portion and nothing after that.
That's awesome. All right, our next title drop clip is for Alonzo.
He's a cyber guardian, a watchful protector.
Yeah, can I hear that again, please?
He's a cyber guardian, a watchful protector.
The Batman?
The Dark Knight.
Oh. Whoa, that's a tricky one.
But that is Gary Oldman speaking the last lines of 2008's The Dark Knight. Next up, over to Drea.
I was wrong about Elton. I was wrong about Christian. Now Josh hated me. It all boiled down to one inevitable conclusion. I was just totally...
Clueless.
Clueless.
Right on cue for 10 points. Next up, back to Iffy.
I'd like to talk to you a minute.
What is it?
They tell me you're a man with...
Let me get that one more time.
I'd like to talk to you a minute.
What is it?
They tell me you're a man with...
Yeah, let's get the year and top bill.
This is a 2010 movie starring Jeff Bridges.
True Grit?
True Grit.
The Coen brothers' version of True Grit for 5.
Look at you pulling through. I'm rooting against you, but you're doing so good.
Next up to Alonzo.
Well, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. You think he'll do it?
What?
We got an attorney in the family.
Great, who?
My cousin Vinny.
My cousin Vinny.
Yes, for the full 10. Amazing. Ralph Macchio in that scene. Next up, back to Drea.
Surgery. I'd like to take his...
Oh, God. I didn't even understand the first word. Can you play it again, please?
Surgery. I'd like to take his...
Oh, I'm going to need the hint.
A 1997 movie starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh. Oh.
It just hit me. This is, you're goofy.
I'd like to take his, I'm dying. As you know, I've seen about 80 Nick Cage films.
Yeah.
97, I'd like to take his, none of the titles I'm thinking of fit with that.
But there's one that fits perfectly.
F your face. Oh, this is going to... I want you to know already. I already know this will haunt me. I'm...
Pass.
What did you just say?
You just said it.
What did you just say to Iffy?
F my what?
F your face off. I want your face off. Off.
John Woo's face off. That kind of surgery.
It was every Nicolas Cage title I've ever seen was all blending into one.
Yeah, you've seen too many.
Enormous word in my head.
I'd like to take his moonstruck.
I'd like to take his vampire's kiss.
It really was. Oh my God.
All right, next clip is for Iffy.
The quote goes, "How happy is the blameless vessel's lot? The world forgetting by the world forgot."
Play that one more time.
The quote goes, "How happy is the blameless vessel's lot? The world forgetting by the world forgot."
All right, yeah, let's go with the hint.
A 2004 movie starring Jim Carrey.
Sunshine of a Spotless Mind? No, that's
Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Yes!
Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. We do need the full title.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a big word there.
All right, next up to Alonzo.
To steal back a fortune that you lost and she deserves. You're a pack of vultures at the feast.
I need the hint, please.
A 2019 movie starring Daniel Craig.
Knives Out?
Knives Out!
And Beaks Bloody for 5 points.
That
yes.
One, his voice is so specific. That it almost makes it more difficult to discern, right? Because you're like, wait, that can only be one thing. Now I for sure don't know that one thing.
Did you guys forget about the Foghorn Leghorn movie that came out in 2019?
Yeah. That's what I kept thinking, you know. Tennessee Williams, James Bond.
All right, and another clip for Drea.
Well, of course you do. No one can cross a ball or...
Why do I always get like one word? And Alonzo knows it. It makes me even more angry. Okay, wait. Can you please replay that?
Of course you do. No one can cross a ball or...
Oh, bend it like Beckham.
Bend it like Beckham.
For the full 10. Nice. A strong answer for Drea will take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
And with that correct answer, Drea is now in the lead. She has 20 points. Alonzo and Iffy are tied with 15.
All right, next up, this clip is for Iffy.
Maybe you are. But let's take a look at that Dietrichson clan. Accident.
Let me hear that one more time, please.
Maybe you are. But let's take a look at that Dietrichson clan. Accident.
All right, I need the hint.
Well, if you didn't like that 1979 hint, you're not going to like this one.
Oh, man, go ahead.
This is a 1944 movie starring Fred McMurray.
Who is that?
Alonzo just levitated.
Exiting and pass.
Alonzo?
Double Indemnity.
Double Indemnity.
Yes, Billy Wilder's Double Indemnity. Alonzo, this next one is for you.
That's the answer to the riddle, because that's what an 8,000-pound Mako thinks about. About freedom.
You got the wrong people for this.
I guess you say clearly you've the wrong hat. Can I have the hint, please?
A 1999 movie starring Saffron Burroughs.
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
Yes, with Tom Jane speaking in that clip.
Deepest, bluest, my head is like a shark's fin.
All right, next clip for Drea.
I'm not sure where that leaves us. These drug cartels represent a...
Okay, can you play it again, please?
I'm not sure where that leaves us. These drug cartels represent a...
I can't identify the actor, which is also holding me back here. But it sounds older. A hint, please.
It is a 1994 movie starring Harrison Ford.
these drug cartels represent a... I'm like an Air Force One. Don't, that's not actually my answer. They represent an Indiana Jones. They represent that time I had relations with an Amish woman. Oh, dying.
I'm not 100% on this one, but is it Clear and Present Danger?
Clear and Present Danger.
Yes, the follow-up to Patriot Games.
Of course, that's like right there, Dad's favorite movie zone.
These drug cartels represent a regarding Henry.
Last clip for each player. This one is for Iffy.
Because I can't run it.
Why not?
Because you have to run it.
That's not a good reason.
It's called...
an election.
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. It rhymes!
I wasn't gonna get that even with
seriously,
the hit,
so. y'all mixed up our question. Yeah.
It's determined by who wins the My Champion game. I don't know what to tell
you. So sure I was hearing a clip from Election and was wrong.
I was gonna say it was the sureness to me.
Yeah,
you just said that with such confidence.
Did you experience the pause before I buzzed him? It was presented with such confidence that I had to
I
have to check the notes here.
All right, next up to Alonzo.
It'll work.
No. It's just that it says Rosemore Animal Park.
That's the one.
You work there?
I do, and I also own it. Strange, but true.
We bought a zoo.
We bought a zoo.
Throttle down.
Amazing.
Wow.
They did indeed buy a zoo. 10 points to Alonzo. And our last clip of round one is for Drea.
And if that girl only hope is you, will I pray for her? Because she's...
Can I get a hint?
It's a 2007 movie starring Casey Affleck.
Is it Gone Baby Gone?
Gone Baby Gone.
Well, that will do it for round one. Next, the scores from Dan and on to round two. Hey, listeners, Taylor here to tell you about what's going on in the Empty Studio this Friday on our Patreon. Tax season has wrapped up, so now it's time for a game for you called A Taxing Experience. It's going to be pop culture trivia all about characters who are paying, collecting, or otherwise having all kinds of fun with their taxes. Catch it at usaquizshow.com/membership to sign up and get access to that and dozens of other past Empty Studio games.
After one round of play, it's time for the Wisdom of Ted Lasso score break. The Wisdom of Ted Lasso. Early drinking means quick drunken. At this point, Alonzo is in the lead with 30 points. Drea's got 25. Iffy is in third place with 15 points. But that means he'll go first in round two.
It also means Iffy gets a chance to make up some ground with... the Threequalizer. I'm about to ask you a question that has three possible answers. Iffy, you will have three chances to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. 1999 saw the release of three different major sci-fi films about characters questioning reality and being trapped inside virtual reality simulations. One was written and directed by David Cronenberg, one was by the Wachowskis, and the last one starred Craig Bierko and Gretchen Mol. What are those three movies?
Okay, definitely Matrix. I'm gonna knock that out right. The Matrix. Let's get that out the way. Cronenberg is harder because the only thing I'm thinking of is Crash. Was it The Thing?
Doesn't even have a 13th floor.
10 points for knowing The Matrix. Those other two movies are Existenz from David Cronenberg and The 13th Floor, the Craig Bierko Gretchen Mol movie. Well, before we get into round two, I want to give our contestants a chance to tell us a little bit about the Maximum Film podcast that they all work on together.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. If you've been enjoying this episode, then you like movies and you will probably like hearing us talk about movies. And this episode is a prime example of our dynamics of what we like and what we don't like.
Our breadth of knowledge and how it does or does not overlap.
It's a film podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white guys. No offense.
Got him.
None taken. Well, that's going to bring us over to round two today, entitled Cousin Movies. We all know the phenomenon of twin movies, Deep Impact and Armageddon, Ants and A Bug's Life, movies released around the same time that share a ton of DNA. But what about cousin movies? Movies that aren't quite so closely related, but manage to share a few very specific traits between them. I'll describe the hyper-specific commonalities between two movies. You name both movies in question. For example, if I said, two movies where a lead female character's changing hair color is used to denote the passing of time, there's an iconic overhead shot of the two leads lying on the ground in winter, and it has a Beck song that plays over the end credits, you'd know the two movies were...
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
And...
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
That answer would get you 20 points if you know both of the movies, or just 10 points if you only know one of them. Now, if you really want to, you know, make the sacrifice and really do your best to actually get both movies and show off that knowledge, you can ask for a hint, at which point I will tell you an actor from each of the two movies you're guessing. And then each movie only becomes 5. So still, you can only get 10, but it's more fun to get both movies, right? Right. Wrong answers that get one of the two movies correct will be awarded 5 mercy points. Gonna start off round two again with Iffy. We've got two coming-of-age comedies featuring Beanie Feldstein where characters listen to a song from Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill.
Okay, so is this going to be, Booksmart and How to Build a Girl?
5 points for knowing Booksmart. The other one is Lady Bird. Have that hand in my pocket needle drop.
Wow, and I needle dropped Timothée Chalamet and didn't even remember the movie he was in.
Over to Drea.
Okay.
It's two movies where Daniel Craig plays an investigator who teams up with an unlikely younger woman to solve a mystery centered around a wealthy character played by Christopher Plummer.
Knives Out and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
The full 20 points. Over to Alonzo. Two movies where Kristen Stewart feels suffocated in an unlikable family's home at Christmas time.
Oh my gosh.
Happiest Season and Spencer.
Just gave this man a layup.
For anyone who doesn't know, Alonzo's a literal expert on Christmas movies.
Published.
Back over to Iffy. We've got two movies where family members are left alone in a house that they trash, then receive a surprise visitor and have to frantically clean up when they learn that the homeowners are coming home earlier than expected.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and get a hint for this one.
These movies star Mike Myers and Song Kang-ho.
Okay, so I want to say one is Cat in the Hat. Golly.
Go on, girl.
Song Kang-ho. I needed to Alonzo just ready.
I'm cheering you on because I know you know this one.
Oh man. Is it Parasite? Yes.
Yes, for 10 points. Very good. Next up to Drea. It's two Best Original Screenplay Oscar nominees from the 2010s, where an A-list white male actor gains some weight and puts on glasses to play an awkward man who falls in love with someone that he shouldn't.
Oh, Lord. Honestly, there's so many descriptors in there that are movies I try and avoid. Okay, I'm just going to need the hints right up.
These movies star Joaquin Phoenix and Colin Farrell.
The Lobster and Joaquin Phoenix. Oh, Her?
For 10. Well done. Next to Alonzo. Two movies where a tough young woman who wears cool goggles and lives in the wreckage of a past war finds a cute orange sidekick, teams up with a scrappy turncoat with a heart of gold, and slides down a steep sandy hillside to reach their hovering vehicle.
Wow. Okay. Well, one of them is Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And the other one is... can I get a half a hint? Does that work?
These movies star Alison Lohman in the English dub and Daisy Ridley.
Oh, God, this is an iffy question. Alison Lohman in the English dub.
You are correct about The Force Awakens. The other one is Hayao Miyazaki's Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, one of his
the
early movies.
The one I haven't seen.
It's a good one. You will still get 5 points for having Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I will accept your pity points.
Next up, back to Iffy. It's two movies where a male member of the Washington family is recruited by a shadowy organization to engage in an unconventional form of time travel to prevent a disaster, and then engages in a car chase that takes place simultaneously in the past and future.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Okay. I just realized which Washington family we're talking about. I'm like, George Washington? So one is definitely Tenet. I'm trying to think of look through my brother Denzel's filmography. Yeah, let me get the hint.
These movies also star Val Kilmer and Robert Pattinson.
It's definitely not The Equalizer because that didn't have time travel. I'm trying to think of stuff that Denzel did action in, and it's probably going to be an earlier joint that I might have slipped through the cracks on me. So yeah, all I have is Tenet.
Drea, what's that other movie?
Deja Vu?
I'm sorry, Drea. I need you to say that again, please.
Deja Vu.
Until I know I did that joke before, but this is the one time I'm allowed to.
Yeah. You could never go wrong with a good
deja vu. I feel like you
have
made that joke before. I don't know why.
Nice. That's how it's done. Thank you.
Still, 5 points for knowing Tenet. Next up to Drea. It's two movies where Sally Hawkins befriends a non-human creature, brings him into her house, and features a scene where the bathroom fills up with water that spills out everywhere when the door opens.
Okay, one is for sure Paddington. Sally Hawkins and a non-human creature.
I know this one, so that should be...
Yeah. It's a real bummer for me.
Well, no, it just lets you know the realm of time.
Yeah. Well, it's Sally Hawkins, so that also gives me a shorter... Sally Hawkins and a non-human. Oh God! Well, now and I'm all thrown. Well, I'm gonna believe that I'm gonna get it with the hint.
These movies also star Hugh Bonneville and Octavia Spencer.
Oh Jesus! Yeah, the water, a piece of water. Oh my God! The Academy Award winning The Shape of Water.
Alonzo was magicking the words into your head, and it was amazing.
That is so amazing for Sally Hawkins that I would hear that, need a hint, and still only know Paddington first off for a film that again won Best Picture. Kudos.
I think Paddington's the better movie. Your brain's in the right place.
Thank you, Taylor.
All right, next to Alonzo. Two movies released in 2016 where Andrew Garfield does a big accent and travels to Japan to face grisly violence and religious persecution.
Okay, one is Martin Scorsese's Silence. All right, I'm going to risk it. I believe in the hint.
These movies also star Vince Vaughn and Adam Driver. Anything else coming to mind?
Yeah, no, I got nothing. I can't. Andrew Garfield and Vince Vaughn were in a movie together. I'm sure I saw it, and I just don't remember it to save my life. So I got nothing. Sorry.
Well, you're right to not remember it. That other movie is Hacksaw Ridge.
Okay, yes.
Released that same year as Martin Scorsese's Silence.
I had to work on the package for that, for the Globes. Like, I've watched the clip of those two 1,000 times. Still didn't remember. No clue. Like, we just invented that movie right now.
Well, that means it's time for another score update from Score Master Dan.
On the strength of her performance in this round, Drea has now taken the lead. She has 65 points. Alonzo is close behind with 60. If he's still in it, he's got 45 points.
All right, Iffy, next one is for you. two movies released in 2021 in which Benedict Cumberbatch puts on an American accent and has a strange relationship with a boy in his late teens named Peter who has a dead dad, telling that boy at some point in the film not to call him sir.
Dunkirk and Doc... I just want to make sure I'm picking the right one. Dunkirk, for sure. No, it is not Doctor Strange. It's Dunkirk, and it's Spider-Man No Way Home.
5 points for Spider-Man No Way Home. Dunkirk, a 2017 release. This is The Power of the Dog. The Power of the Dog.
Also, a famous,
I was so sure.
The famous British invasion. I'm not sure why.
He's doing an American
ben
accent.
Ben Cumbie would be doing an American accent.
I was so sure when I heard,
you
Benny
felt
D.
That. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Also, is Benny Cumbie in Dunkirk,
right?
I don't think he is.
He's like the only English actor.
No, because I mixed up Dunkirk with
1917.
With 1917. That's what I was. So that was a double win. I was thinking of 1917.
Can we just mark the time that I knew something about a movie and I beat Taylor to it?
Personal best all around.
It's just awful that I'm still stuck on War Horse. Apparently, that's still. All right, next one is for Drea. Two movies released in 2012 that star Irfan Khan and feature a character named Richard Parker.
Okay, there's definitely The Life of Pi. Can I? I'm going to do it. I want the hint because I know I can get there.
Starring Andrew Garfield and Suraj Sharma.
Andrew Garfield, 2012, Irfan Khan. Man, I got a little too confident. I got to really go on, girl, this moment, and I don't know if I'm gonna. Oh, no. 2012. I'm going to say it's one of the Spider-Men. I'm going to say it's a Mark Webb Spider-Man. Oh, I don't remember those having... I'm going to just say Spider-Man 2. The Amazing Spider-Man.
We got to take your first answer, but it is indeed Mark Webb's The Amazing Spider-Man and Life of Pi.
I know I don't get the points, but I want to tell you, I actually feel just okay that I spat it out and I'll sleep more soundly.
You still get 5 points for Life of Pi.
Okay.
Next up to Alonzo. We've got two movies released in 2004 where someone named Harry wants revenge on someone named Peter for killing his father, even though Peter isn't technically 100% responsible.
Okay. Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi, and yeah, I'm going to skip the hint. I don't know.
That other movie is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, where Peter Pettigrew enters the picture.
It's a rat and he loses the thing. Yeah. Peter Pettigrew. Okay. It's a whole thing. Okay. Yeah.
10 points to Alonso for Spider-Man 2. Last set of cousin movies for each player. This one is for Iffy.
All right, but I'm just going to say we're not going to address that you did Oops All Spider-Man that last run.
Just a real testament to the originality of the
Spider-Man. Yeah, the No Way Home set of questions. It was, I think you hit every...
That's true. Yep. All the universes.
Oops All Spider-Man.
All right, for Iffy. It's two movies where a character goes to meet his significant other's parents for the first time, only to find out that those parents are trying to engineer a plot for a white man to steal that character's identity.
Meet the parents. I mean, I'm sorry, not Meet the Parents. Get Out.
I get those two confused all the time.
Can you please send me an audio clip of that so it can be my outgoing message?
Jordan Peele's Meet the Farkers.
Okay.
Let's make this happen.
Hoo-wee. I think I'm gonna just pass and just go for the raw winner.
The other movie that fits this plot description is Shrek 2.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Where he finally meets Princess Fiona's parents.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, that's...
That's fantastic.
All right, next to Drea. It's two movie musicals set in New York City where a character sings a song about leaving the city and inexplicably decides that Santa Fe, New Mexico is their ideal destination.
First off, kudos on all of these because these are so specific. and so weird. A movie musical in New York where a character sings a song about leaving. Sure, I feel like I could come up with numerous of those. Deciding that Santa Fe, New Mexico is where they're going? Honestly, no clue at all. I'm going to have to do hints.
These movies star Christian Bale and Jesse L. Martin.
So, newsies, Jesse L. Martin, does he have the lead in Rent?
He does sing the song about Santa Fe in Rent.
That's
full 10
hilarious.
Points to Treya.
I knew Rent, did not remember the Santa Fe came up in Newsies.
Oh, fan, look at those deep dives. Nice job.
And closing out round two with Alonzo. Two movies shot by cinematographer Sean Porter, where the first word of the title is green, and the second word is four letters with two O's in the middle, in which traveling musicians have encounters with racists.
Well, Green Book. And I'm my Wordle brain is being engaged now. Green Pool?
That is going to be Jeremy Saulnier's Green Room with Anton Yelchin.
Good one.
Again, can we just give a round of applause for those questions? That was insanity.
Very good. That was a Taylor. Good job, Taylor.
I mean, Taylor, my God.
The nerdiness is strong with these ones.
I had a little outside help from some friends on this round, but very, very
I'm
fun.
Just
I'm
picturing a whole
it.
Beautiful mind room of like weird scribbles and a few dioramas and a lot of string.
Yeah, our red yarn budget is gone.
Exactly. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to the final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win fabulous prizes like the chance to name a score break here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
A future projection whose years now has passed, the millennial countdown's crowds have amassed. In order to find out what some cops just did, they'll relive some memories using a squid.
Think you know the answer? Then go to usaquizshow.com/riddle, submit that answer, and win that prize. Then check us out on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at USA Quiz Show next week to find the answer to that riddle when we post it. Think you're ready to come play in the big leagues? Then head to usaquizshow.com/apply and put your name in the hat for a future season. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about an update on the scores?
Absolutely. Going into round three, it's time for the backlash to the Wisdom of Ted Lasso score break. This really was inevitable, guys. At this point, Drea and Alonzo are tied for the lead with 80 points each. Iffy is in third place with 60 points. That means he'll need to get three correct answers in order to pull into first, and he'll get to go first in round three.
Three correct answers is very doable because anything can still happen in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You will get 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Countdown to Christmas, Staff Picks, What's Good, and I Understand It's Big in France. Now, those topics might be a little bit mysterious from their names alone, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do the best on. Or perhaps you want to keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. If he's in third place, you get first crack at a choice for a lightning round. Which of these four categories would you like? Once again, they are Countdown to Christmas, Staff Picks, What's Good, and I Understand It's Big in France.
See, here's the thing, is if I was up, I would take Countdown to Christmas away just to ice out Alonzo. But I need to get three right. So I need to start going. And if there's anyone that sounds like bubblegum blockbuster stuff, it seems like it's got to be What's Good. So I'm going to do What's Good.
Well, there might be some bubblegum blockbusters in here, but in this case, we're talking about movies that have the word good in the title. So any movie that has the word good in the title, fair game for this lightning round. What's Good, of course, also being a reference to a segment on Maximum Film. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Iffy, are you ready?
Yeah, okay.
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck win a screenwriting Oscar for this movie.
Oh gosh. Pass. I gotta keep...
Robert Pattinson teams up with these two brothers to make 2017's Good Time.
Good Time. Oh, the Safdie brothers.
The Safdies. This 2013 actioner's tagline was Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia.
Next, pass.
If Clint Eastwood and Lee Van Cleef are the good and the bad, then he is the ugly.
Oh my gosh. Lee Van Cleef, Clint Eastwood. I gotta pass. I need time.
Helen Hunt wins an Emmy and an Oscar in the same year for Mad About You and this movie.
Oh my gosh. Pass.
For the movie version of A Few Good Men, he takes on the role originated by Tom Hulce.
Pass.
Between Ocean's 12 and 13, George Clooney and Steven Soderbergh made this neo-noir.
Oh my gosh. Good Time Murders?
The Good German. Okay. David Strathairn plays Edward R. Murrow in this 2005 historical drama.
Pass.
2006's A Good Year is Russell Crowe's second of five collaborations with this director.
Pass.
Ian McKellen and Helen Mirren are conning each other in this 2019 thriller.
Oh my gosh. The Good Ones. I was trying to get to Good Burger. Where's Good Burger? The Good Years.
Two more questions from now, actually, was Good Burger.
It's insane how many good projects Clooney is involved with.
I was going to say.
I know. I was like, I was just hyper-focused on Good Burger and everything else just fell out.
Surely the next question shall be Good Burger.
When all you have is a Good Burger, everything looks like a nail.
That Ian McKellen and Helen Mirren movie was The Good Liar. The Good Liar.
Yes.
All right, Dan, let's hear the passes and the scores with the Iffy Report.
So we have a few passes to deal with. If you need to get a drink, this might be a good time for it. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck won a screenwriting Oscar for Good Will Hunting. The 2013 actioner who said Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia is shockingly the worst of the Die Hard movies, A Good Day to Die Hard. Eli Wallach is the ugly in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is kind of mean, honestly, when you think about it. Like, really, why are you picking on him? The movie where Helen Hunt won an Oscar was As Good as It Gets. Tom Cruise has the role originated by Tom Hulce in A Few Good Men. The David Strathairn movie replaced Edward R. Murrow is Good Night and Good Luck. And Russell Crowe was directed by Ridley Scott in 2006's A Good Year. Still, if he was not crowded out, he got a correct answer. He now has 70 points, unfortunately not enough to put him into first. Up next is Alonzo. He's got 80 points, and if he gets even one correct, he will move into first place.
This is going to be brutal, by the way. This is just going to be like reading a Wikipedia.
Here's the thing, though. That these guys, Countdown to Christmas is going to be some category that has nothing to do with anything about the holidays. It's going
to
be
it has to do with
you
math.
Learn from my mistake.
It's going to be about Advent or some nonsense that I'm going to be like really suffering. But on the other hand, I can't not do the Countdown to Christmas category. So I will take Countdown to Christmas.
I am pleased to tell you that this is indeed a Christmas-themed round. It is all about Hallmark Christmas movies.
Come on.
I wrote a book about them, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
90 seconds on the clock. Alonso, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Switched for Christmas has this Hallmark regular and Full House star playing twins.
Candace Cameron Bure.
In 2010's The Santa Incident, the U.S. government mistakes Santa's sleigh for one of these.
A UFO.
This star of the 80s and 90s is Santa's heir in Single Santa Seeks Mrs. Claus and its sequels.
Steve Guttenberg.
In A Christmas Secret, Bethany Joy Lenz finds a magical one of these pieces of jewelry.
A bracelet?
A locket. 2010's Gift of the Magi was based on a story by this noted American author.
O. Henry.
This star of The Breakfast Club and St. Elmo's Fire has the title role in Santa Jr.
Emilio Estevez.
Judd Nelson. 2018's Christmas at Pemberley Manor is inspired by this classic novel.
Pride and Prejudice.
Rob Morrow stars as an angel in this 2014 spinoff of the Mrs. Miracle series.
Mr. Miracle.
In A Carol Christmas, this sci-fi legend beams in to play the ghost of Christmas future.
William Shatner.
In North Pole, this Saved by the Bell star is a recuperating figure skater.
Tiffany Thiessen.
In 2014's Christmas at Cartwright's, Alicia Witt has to get a job as this.
A department store Santa Claus.
In 2022's The Perfect Pairing, Nanzine Contractor plays a wine critic suffering from this ailment.
Vertigo.
Amnesia is that answer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Alonzo report.
Well, Alonzo was so confident he did not pass once, so all I have to tell you is he got 9 correct answers. Now has 170 points and the lead. Drea's up next. She will need to match that performance in order to force a tie or get 10 correct answers in order to take the win.
That's the spirit.
All right, Drea, your two remaining category choices are staff picks and I understand it's big in France.
These could really go any way, huh? I'm going to do I understand it's big in France. Why not?
Do you have a crazy guess as to what this might be?
No clue at all.
French titles of American hits?
No, but also great idea for the future. In this particular case, though, what's big in France when it comes to movies? It's the Cannes Film Festival. This is a round all about Palme d'Or winners at the Cannes Film Festival. 90 seconds on the clock. Drea, are you ready?
Yeah, we...
Julia Ducournau directed this 2021 movie that's nominally about a new type of metal.
Titan.
This 2019 movie won 4 Oscars, including Best Picture, Directing, and Original Screenplay.
2019. Why can't I remember years anymore? Pass.
In a 2013 comic book adaptation, Adele meets Emma, who has this color hair.
Blue.
In The Tree of Life, this 12 Monkey star plays Sean Penn's father.
Ooh, is he in 12 Monkey? Pass.
This director of My Own Private Idaho also helmed 2003's Elephant.
Gus Van Sant.
He starred in both The Wind That Shakes the Barley and as Scarecrow in The Dark Knight.
Cillian Murphy.
In The Wages of Fear, 4 men have to transport a shipment of this explosive.
Pass.
This singer is top billed in Dancer in the Dark.
Bjork.
Harry Dean Stanton doesn't speak until 26 minutes into this 1984 movie.
Pass.
In Pulp Fiction, Uma Thurman and John Travolta dance in this restaurant.
Oh. Pass.
She won the Best Supporting Actress Oscar for The Piano.
Holly Hunter.
Anna Paquin.
Oh, Jesus.
Gene Hackman learned to play the saxophone for this movie.
Pass.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Drea report.
All right, so we have a few passes to go through. The 2019 movie that won 4 Oscars, including Best Picture, is the already mentioned in this game, Parasite.
Yep.
In Tree of Life, Brad Pitt plays Sean Penn's father. The Wages of Fear is the most tense movie ever made. It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, you should seek it out, where they're 4 men are transporting a shipment of nitroglycerin that could go off at any moment. Harry Dean Stanton doesn't speak until 26 minutes into Paris, Texas. In Pulp Fiction, Uma Thurman and John Travolta dance at Jack Rabbit Slim's.
Yep.
And Gene Hackman learned to play the saxophone for The Conversation. Drea got 5 correct answers, giving a total of 130 points. That means our final scores are... Iffy with 170, Dre with 130, our winner with 170 points, it's Alonzo!
Alonzo!
Woo! Alonzo! Woo!
Congratulations, Alonzo. Today's winner, fantastic game from all of our players. Super, super fun. Just an absolute joy.
Yay.
Woo. Before we go, are there any plugs, Drea, that you would like to give, social media or other things that you're working on?
I am currently programming Gina Davis's Bentonville Film Festival. And so please check that out. We will have a virtual component where you can support indie filmmakers. And our concentration is on underrepresented voices, both in front of and behind the camera. And I'm on Twitter at the Drea Clark.
Fantastic. Iffy, anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, yeah. Definitely watch Grand Crew on Hulu or Peacock. And anything I'm doing stand-up-wise, you can just find me on Twitter and listen to Maximum Film.
Maximum Film is on Twitter at @maximum_film.
And all of these links will be in the show notes in this episode in your podcasting app. So go click on them right there. And Alonso, any other personal plugs you'd like to throw in, point our listeners towards stuff you're doing?
Sure. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter at @aduraldi, @aduralde. You can read my reviews at The Wrap. I also co-host Linoleum Knife with my husband, Dave White. Also Breakfast All Day and the Deck the Hallmark podcast. And if you want to hear me talk more about Hallmark Christmas movies, listen to Deck the Hallmark and check out our book, I'll Be Home for Christmas Movies.
Awesome. Well, thanks again so much to all three of our players today. This was an absolute delight.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
It was our pleasure.
Also, I want to shout out one of our listeners is who connected us. So thank you, whoever you are. We love you.
Yes, and listeners, if there's another pop culture, movie, TV podcast out there where you'd like to see their hosts come and play on our show, head over to usaquizshow.com/dreamteam and make those connections happen. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week. It's going to be the first week in May, so we've got an all Star Wars trivia special before starting our 7th season the week after that. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thanks again for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
All right. We are offline now, so... well done on that argument. That was a tour de force. I don't think we've had... that's the first impression we've had, I believe. First act out.
I assume you mean mine.
Yes.
I just came up with Wiz Khalifa doing, like, you know, caught up with a feeling of British nobility, feeling nothing but sense and sensibility.
Ooh, bars. Okay.
All right. There's the end of... there's the outro.